Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Lori, you've got some crazy-sounding tech story about miniature flying grains of rice that can do what? What's going on?
So this is an article from CNET. It says, winged microchip is smallest ever human-made flying structure. They're just the size of a grain of sand, but the microflyers can carry data collecting sensors. It's raining.
A grain of sand.
A grain of sand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
when you first said grain, when you were telling me about it off the air, I just sort of put in rice into what you were saying.
Oh.
And now it has actually connected with me what you were saying. A grain of sand.
A grain of
wow.
sand. Yeah.
Okay. That's really small.
That's well, you can't even see that if it's,
yeah.
you know.
Nope.
Across, if it's not directly
yeah,
in
if it's
front
not coming
you.
Right at you
right.
in your field of vision, you're going to have no idea.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I always thought that when I grew up, there would be technology that would allow people to have like a recording device in a contact so that that way they could like secretly record things.
Yeah, sure. There's been movies that show that kind of tech, right?
And mm-hmm. it seems like that's close to possible if they can get something to be as small as a grain of sand, maybe not a contact yet.
So what do these things do?
So it says, it's raining microchips. Hallelujah. One day they could float gently through the air while gathering environmental data, land on the ground, and then dissolve when their work is done. A Northwestern video on the microchips emphasizes just how tiny they are, shows how they're constructed, and what they look like when they're flying. I didn't watch the video. So,
mm-hmm.
The winged propeller-like design of the microchips means they fall slowly and can ride on the wind. That gives them lots of time to collect data on the way down. The team said they can be equipped with miniaturized sensors, antennas, and even data storage.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, if they can store data, then you'd have to somehow be able to download that data.
Mm-hmm.
So if they have an antenna on them, then they could, in theory, transmit, but then they would need some power source. So, like,
and then what if they like just immediately fall to the ground and dissolve before they can?
Well, they're
transmit.
Not dissolving yet. That's like
oh,
a
yeah.
vision for what they could do. So,
I think that in the future they want them to dissolve.
Yes. Yeah, and we just totally need more metal and plastic dissolving into the soil.
Yeah.
You know, already there's a big problem with like PC board waste, right? Like, there's a huge problem with this stuff. Like, PC boards are the stuff that's inside your laptop and inside your cell phone, the green board that all the electronics are connected to. There's a bunch of metals, right, that are in these products, and there's a huge amount of this waste because of, you know, people are turning over their cell phones every year now,
yeah.
right? You get a new cell phone every year or two at the most. These things are designed at this point, and I was just watching the two-minute-long propaganda here from Northwestern University, where it's talking about how, again, it's designed to fall like a maple seed.
So, and that's just what they admit to us. Like, and they might be further along than they admit.
Yeah, they look like a propeller. It's got three blades on it. It looks like a fan blade.
Right, and the actual size of these things, they show them. You know, normally, like, you would put a thing next to a quarter or a dime, right, to see its scale relative to a thing that you can understand. Here, they're putting them next to a ladybug, and there's another image where it's next to an ant, and they're very, very small.
Because nature.
Nature.
Yeah. And so they're very, very small, and they're talking about, they do admit, as we mentioned earlier, they do admit that this can be used somehow for population surveillance or disease tracking. Now, how exactly that's going to be the case, it's not really clear. They say they can be equipped with miniaturized sensors, antennas, and even data storage. So, again, this I'm sure is just scratching the surface of the potential for this particular technology, and it's very disturbing.
So if they want them to dissolve on contact with water, is what it says in the article.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens when it lands in the water supply? Would masses of these things land in the water supply?
Well, I mean, hopefully whatever filtering there is out there would catch it. You know, let's focus on the things that we can point out that we know are actually happening, like
right.
the examples that you've given. These are terrible things. When you leave water supplies in the hands of governments, we shouldn't be surprised when they manipulate them in ways that otherwise might not be done.
We've also left the airways in the hands of governments.
Yep, that is definitely true. But in order to actually have some sort of mass poisoning going on with chemtrails, you have to have somebody, a lot of somebodies. If the program is as big as the chemtrail believers want you to believe that it is, that it's going on constantly, right? That there's constantly people poisoning people and or using mind control. It depends on who you talk to. Is it mind control technology or is it poison, you know, one or the other, the supposed chemtrails? Then you have to have a whole bunch of pilots who are willing to literally poison their own families.
Why would they have to know? They would just have to think that it's the normal byproduct of their plane.
Because it has to be released, right? So the product is in some sort of tank, in theory, right, on the plane, and somebody has to press a button to open the, you know, the sprayers.
Or it could just be added to the jet fuel.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know if that's how jet fuel works, because that gets incinerated.
Well, jet fuel, right? Doesn't melt steel beams.
Yeah, I don't know about all that. I mean, there's definitely a lot of controversy surrounding those questions. Vaccines in vegetables. Lori, this I had not heard of. Apparently, this is a thing now, or going to be a thing? What's happening?
It's going to be a thing, I guess. This is from WGNTV.com. So it says, vaccines in your salad. Scientists growing medicine-filled plants to replace injections. Vaccinations can be a controversial subject for many people, especially when it comes to injections. So what if you could replace your next shot with a salad instead? Researchers at the University of California, Riverside are working on a way to grow edible plants that carry the same medication as in an mRNA vaccine.
Wow. Not even, you know, one of the vaccines that are, you know, have been around for, like, I don't know how long, decades, but one of the new experimental types.
Yeah.
If you don't want to take it, we'll just put it in your lettuce.
Now, there's been a lot of people that have been concerned over genetically modified foods for a long time. And personally, I don't really care about that generally. But if they're going to start doing this to food, that's going to cross a line for me.
I have a problem with some genetically modified food, like when they modify them so they're no longer seed bearing.
I agree with that.
That's a problem.
Yeah. When they're screwing the farmers over with their technology, that's a huge problem.
Trademarked plants.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's based on patents, right? Yeah. So that's based on intellectual property and government mandates and government coercion.
You don't eat a vaccine. It goes into your bloodstream. So, like, how is it the same thing if it's in a vegetable?
I mean, the things you eat go in your bloodstream, too. That's how alcohol gets into your system.
Yeah, I mean, it has to get through your stomach acid first, but I mean, it sounds like I'm sure that was the first question they asked is, hey, how do we get something through, you know, the stomach, get it into their bloodstream without destroying it,
essentially. If it's just that easy, why do people even take shots into their arms when they could just take a pill?
Take a pill?
Sounds like...
Oh, it tells you in the article.
Yeah. Tell me more.
Okay, so it says, they work by teaching cells from the immune system to recognize and attack certain infectious disease. Unfortunately, mRNA vaccines have to stay in cold storage until use or they lose stability.
Mm-hmm.
The UC Riverside team says that if they're successful, the public could eat plant-based mRNA vaccines, which could also survive at room temperature. So that's what they're trying to do. The reason they can't take a pill is because all of these vaccines have to be cold stored. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to make them room temperature stable and then put them in the plants. Thanks to a $500,000 grant from the National Science Foundation, researchers are now looking to accomplish three goals. First, the team will try to successfully deliver DNA-containing mRNA vaccines into plant cells where they can replicate. So it's going to be right in the plant's DNA, the cells. Next, the study authors want to show that plants can actually produce enough mRNA to replace traditional injection.
You know, it's one thing if they're labeling the bags or whatever at the grocery store. If presumably this goes on the grocery store shelves, I mean, I think any grocer that offers this should be shamed for it, because it seems like a really bad plan. But, you know, what about the seeds from these plants? I mean, floating on the breeze over to another plantation or to another farm, and the farmer there doesn't realize that he has these things. And then they're packaging up unknowingly vaccinated vegetables.
Mm-hmm. And what about, are you going to have to show ID to buy this, like cough syrup?
Yeah, well, again, that is another question, is are these going to be prescription drugs? Are you going to go to, you know, CVS with a prescription to get some tomatoes?
They haven't even been, well, the shots haven't even been okayed for kids yet.
Oh, they're working on that, though. In fact, they're, I guess Pfizer is all excited about their trials with children ages 5 to 11. And there was something in the news about that within like the last 24 to 48 hours. And people that love the vaccine, they're getting crazy and like, oh, my God, I get to have my kids vaccinated. They're all excited about it.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
I had a sort of related story that I've been sitting on here for a little bit. This came from The Guardian, and it was published, I don't know, a few weeks back. Yeah, August 21st. And this is, again, looking at technology and where it's kind of going with all the fear that's out there. And, of course, fear is a huge driver in the marketplace. If you can scare somebody, if you're the news media, you scare somebody into tuning in and watching the next update and staying through the commercial break. If you are in the world of medicine, you scare somebody into getting the vaccine and then coming back for a booster and so on and so forth. And if you're in the working world, then you are pandering to that fear. If you have a business that people go into, you've got signage up about how you're washing your hands and how you're sanitizing everything. We've seen this stuff everywhere. You put up the plexiglass just to signal to people. Even though the plexiglass doesn't actually help things, it's a signal. It shows that you care. It shows that, you know, you got to put people in masks, because even though that doesn't do anything, in fact, might make things worse, people believe that it does something. And so you want your customers to feel safe.
And so security theater.
Yeah, so that's why these businesses are pandering. Well, some businesses are going as far as they possibly can. I mean, there's definitely a range, right? Like here in Keene, New Hampshire, there's some people that have got signage up in their window that says KS for Keene Safe. Here's the vision for the future. Now, this isn't just the vision for the future by this corporation. This place exists. It is in Bucharest, the capital of Romania. And it includes hands-free door handles, self-cleaning surfaces, antimicrobial paint, air monitoring display tools, UV light disinfection robots, and 135 other measures. They're calling this the new normal in office design. And they want, well, I'm sure, companies to spend big bucks adopting all this tech for their office building. Entering H3, a five-story building in a western neighborhood of the Romanian capital, is like learning the steps to a new dance. This is, by the way, TheGuardian.com reporting. A flick of the wrist opens the door, and a red line marks the spot at which to stand from where a thermal body camera 2 meters away scans arrivals for signs of fever. Those who are green-lighted can follow the tracks to the self-clean lift, step on one of 2 footpads, and be transported through the building, safe in the knowledge that a UV lighting disinfection system installed in the ventilation shafts is keeping them infection-free between floors.
But I thought admitting that light can kill bacteria gets you canceled.
What do you mean?
They canceled Trump for that.
Oh, I think it's because he said he wanted to shoot lasers into his body or whatever it was.
What?
Yeah.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, he said, why don't we just beam UV light inside our bodies? And that's because that's how you get cancer.
In Romania, just as elsewhere in Europe, the majority of office workers were confined to home for much of the past 18 months. Surveys show many are nervous about the prospect of coming back. The point is to reassure them, says Gavin Bonner, one of the main coordinators behind the Immune Building Standard Project. He says, we don't want people to panic, which has brought together health professionals, architects, engineers, IT, and building managers from around the world to help corporations prepare for post-pandemic life.
How ironic that it's called the immune building when it's immune-destroying.
That's what I was just thinking. I was like, the immune system doesn't just indiscriminately kill everything in your body, for one thing.
And when you say immune-destroying, you mean this will actually harm people's immune systems.
Yeah, if you're not exposed to any germs, your body has no practice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what people have been they've been skeptical of this hand sanitizer for years before the COVID thing. Like, people have been saying, hey, don't use that hand sanitizer because it kills off, like, good stuff, too.
Oh, yeah, right? And only the strongest bacteria survive. And it doesn't clean your hands. Your hands are still filthy.
Right. Yeah, if they're dirty, yeah, they're still dirty.
Right.
The publicly available standard, trademarked named Immune, has already been applied to several buildings in the United Kingdom. Its developers include the lead Romanian property company called Genesis, also the landlord of the H3 building, and the project has cost about 1 million euro.
I just wanted to kind of chime in with the nature's biome that is part of our own individual systems and the world that surrounds us, that there is a wealth of symbiotic organisms that are keeping us alive. And to actually imagine that we could, you know, eliminate all of that with this building and
The idea that you'll be able to beat nature, and this came up earlier in the show, where the designers of this new micro robot thing, robot's not the right word, but this tiny little microchip that's going to be flying through the airs and possibly into your lungs and, you know, who knows where else, that they were literally bragging because they thought they've beaten nature. And like, that's the kind of that reminds me of, like, Jurassic Park, you know. They thought they'd harnessed nature and nope, didn't work out. By the way, they are looking to clone the woolly mammoth now. Did you guys hear about that?
No.
Yeah, that's, like, apparently in the process as we speak.
I guess that's not as bad as a T-Rex, but still.
That's the next
creepy
step, though, right? If they can do the woolly mammoth, why wouldn't they do the T-Rex? Every corner is rounded off. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got a, you know, not just a helmet, but a knee pad and an elbow pad and a, you know, everything pad. And, you know, there's no level of safety that is too much for some of these parents out there to raise their children. I mean, look, I get it. You don't want your kid to stick the fork in the, the socket, right? The power socket. Okay, so there's some basics that make sense. But they've gone really far with this, haven't they?
Yeah, there's definitely a medium. You want them to be safe, but if you make them so scared of everything, they're not going to know how to grow up.
Yeah.
They're just going to remain children forever. And that's what happens to the adults now. There's no personal responsibility. There's no situational awareness. There's no logical thinking behind anything people do.
Right. We literally have a nation full of children.
Yeah.
In fact, many of them are staying home with their parents. They're not moving out. They have no plans to move out. Of course, now with the economic situation, it's more difficult than ever. If they even did want to leave the nest, if you will, it's now more difficult than ever because, well, first of all, inflation's happening, so it's harder to kind of keep up with the Joneses, so to speak. So the whole COVID scare is just sort of the icing on this cake that they've been building, this obedience cake, if you will, that they've been inculcating people with, the fear that they want people to experience constantly, to look to experts, government gangsters, medical people, corporations, to look to these people to protect them and to keep them safe. And so we're seeing the true full expression of that right now all around us in society. And this so-called immune set of standards for buildings is the next step.
So people think COVID is scary, right? What is the death rate of COVID? Less than 1%?
Oh, much less. Yeah, so like a tenth of a percent.
What is the death rate for immunocompromised people for COVID? I'm sure much higher.
A little higher.
So what happens when everyone's immunocompromised? Because we live in sterile, sanitized environments.
Oof.
Per mandatory regulations. Everyone has no immune system, and then something new comes out, and then we have a mass extinction event, like a real one.
That's disturbing.
Yeah.
And are they planning that, or are they just that ignorant? This is their religious belief system. And many of them are a-religious. Many of them are atheists. You know, if you were to ask them and say, do you believe in God? They would say no. But then they go on and they worship the medical authoritarian state, and they do everything a man in a lab coat tells them to do, or a man with a fancy hat or a fancy suit that they happen to have voted for or whatever tells them to do. Because remember, there's a lot of these people who are taking the vaccine willingly who said previously, and there's a Twitter account called Defiant L's that keeps pointing this out over and over again because they made public statements, these people. Back in 2020, when Trump was still in office, it was, I'm never taking the Trump vaccine. There's no way I'm going to take the Trump vaccine. Well, then Trump lost the election, and now all of a sudden, the vaccine's fine.
Yeah, it's the same vaccine.
They're lining up for it. Just... they're proud. They're wearing their stickers. Yep.
The happiest moment of my life.
Oh, my God. There was a woman who posted that on... It was a photograph of her getting the vaccine.
A selfie. Like, she was taking a picture of herself.
Wearing a mask, of course.
The doctor giving it to her.
With a needle in her arm. The happiest moment of my life.
Sad life.
Yeah. There are so many things that I can think of.
And this woman was
happier.
Clearly, like, in her late 40s. So she'd had a long life up until this point. Life is about taking risks.
I'm terrified to fly. I still fly. Mm. I've done it. I'm so scared of it. But I mean, have to just... that's the difference between, you know, bravery and cowardice. Mm-hmm. I don't think fear itself is the problem. It's the cowardice.
Being willing to overcome the fear.
Right.
To do the thing you want to do.
Right. Fear is a tool.
Mm-hmm. And usually when you're afraid of something, but you have to force yourself to do it, you realize it's not as bad. So that's how people learn to stop being, you know, just completely, oh, I'm not going to get on a plane. They get on it and they're like, oh, I survived.
Yeah, I'm still afraid of flying.
And it feels good. It feels good when you overcome fear, right? Like when you've accomplished a thing that you've never accomplished before. And now you've got a whole society full of people that are afraid to even leave their homes. So now, and there's more to this Guardian story that we started earlier in the show, and I want to continue it. It's about this new building standard. Well, they want it to be the standard. This company that is trademarking this thing that they're saying is open source, it's called Immune, and it involves 135 various different measures, technological cleaning, self-cleaning surfaces, antimicrobial paint, UV light, disinfection robots, and on and on and on, that is employed at a building that they have in Bucharest, Romania, which is they're like their showpiece building, right? Like, this has all 135 things. The Swedish telecommunications company Ericsson is the current occupant of H3, which is the building that we were talking about earlier, which is their showpiece building with all the 135 measures in it. It's a 15,500 square meter space that's been retrofitted over the last year at a cost of €375,000, split between the company and the landlord. Normally, there would be 2,000 employees in the office. Now, there's just a smattering of them, occupying well-spaced desks or meeting rooms, which they reserve through a digital booking tool to avoid overcrowding. After the summer, an initial 20% of the workforce is expected to return. A representative of the company in Romania who wished to remain anonymous said, quote, "We need to gain people's confidence to reassure them that we've done everything to protect the building's health so as to protect theirs, and we want to give them as much information as possible," he said. As communication is considered key, employees are encouraged to use a large screen in the entrance foyer, called a digital twin display, to, quote, take the building's pulse. As Genesis's IT manager Dragos Kozma puts it, he demonstrates a detailed 3D map of the entire building with touch points displaying the array of immunity-boosting measures. The building that they have, that is their showpiece, that has all 135 measures in it, wasn't built from the ground up with those measures. They spent almost €500,000, you know, under €400,000, to retrofit the Ericsson building in Romania.
So buildings are already equipped with radon detectors, carbon monoxide detectors, smoke detectors. Mm-hmm. Why do you need a panel that you can go into work and check to see the levels of all these things? Do people, the normal person, even understand what the appropriate levels of this, of these random gases are?
Well, they want other things to be able to be checked. Volatile organic compounds. What is that exactly?
That's like paint fumes and things like that, VOCs. When you see low VOC paint, stuff like that.
They want all of the things to be able to be checked. They want all of the data. They want all of the technology. And there's a huge cost to this. But they say there's no cost that's too much to make their employees feel safe about coming back to work.
And I bet that's what the employee checking kiosks are for. It's just to make people feel like there's a feature for them so that people vote for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no reason for the average person to be able to need to check those things, is what I'm saying. All it causes is like
they just want them to
obsessive,
feel safe.
Compulsive mm-hmm. checking that you're safe at all times, and you probably don't even understand the data you're looking at.
I've just been apprised this evening. I was listening to an earlier talk show. There was a professor from a university in Florida that was busted with iced up multiple DNAs from America, taking them to China. And upon a little further, this guy that did the interview was, I believe, the Secretary of the State of Florida. And he was blowing some holy smoke up the skirts, dude. It was China is so deep in us. This recollects me to a thought I heard or a thing I heard from, I reckon, who Beijing is now calling Sun Myung Hung.
Okay, hold on.
Let the cat out of the bag.
I don't want to talk really about confused. Whatever joke that was. But what is it that is what is it that is supposedly the reason why someone would need to take DNA to China?
Because they're trying to do further research on how to kill us with this Wuhan.
But can't they just take one of their Uyghur prisoners and use their DNA?
They have plenty of people in China. And are you suggesting that the United States, people of the United States, are somehow significantly different human beings that they would need to have DNA from?
China is trying to consume the world without firing a shot.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.